This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم. لئلا يعلم أهل الكتاب ألا يقدرون على شيء من فضل الله وأن الفضل بيد الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we reached the end of the study of this amazing surah, Surah Al-Hadid, 57th chapter of the Quran. The last two verses remain for us today. It is a great achievement to immerse yourself into the study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, that the best of you are those who learn the Quran and then teach it. Authentic hadith. And this hadith is reported on the authority of Uthman ibn Affan. And Uthman ibn Affan, it is said about him that he used to have a habit to read the entire Quran in one raka'ah, in Salat al-Witr. Yes? In Salat al-Witr, he would read the entire Quran. Maybe this would take about between 6 to 8 hours to do something like this. Yes, the entire Quran. And the scholars of Islam, they mentioned that sometimes the rawi, the companion who narrates a hadith, he may have a connection with the hadith he is narrating. So Uthman is the one who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you are those who learn the Quran and then teach it. And he himself was a man of the Quran, radiyallahu ta'ala an. I remember a few years ago, Imam Ahmad Amir passed away, rahimahullah. You may have know who he is, tall Egyptian old man who used to come to East London Masjid to lead the Taraweeh. Did you ever pray behind him? Very tall, yes. He looked very frail as well. May Allah have mercy on him. He passed away. So he became world renowned, yeah, as a qari, a real reciter of the Quran. And he was speaking to one of my teachers, Sheikh Haytham al-Haddad, hafidhahullah. And he said to him, let me tell you about my childhood. He said, you know, when you were young, he lived in a village outside of Cairo. He said, we are very poor and I had to go to a different village to learn Quran, to memorize Quran. And once I said to my dad that, Dad, why don't you buy me a donkey? At least, so you know, I can go to this place on a donkey. So his dad said to him, donkey, you don't have enough money for food and you want me to buy you a donkey. So he said, you know, fast forward my life, it's amazing that after I memorized the Quran, Allah changed and transformed my life such that I became a judge, and I would be called to different competitions around the world for Quran to sit as a judge. And they should fly me out in different places. And then he said, because of I became a prominent qari in Egypt, people used to gift me things. Until he said, now, this is the end of his life, he says, I have 3 tower blocks in Cairo. And one tower block belongs to me and my wife, and another one to my son, and then another son, and another son. And he said, also I have a penthouse in downtown Cairo that overlooks much of the city. And he says, all of these things I have in my life, I have them despite the fact that I have no qualification, except that I memorize the Quran, and I used to recite the Quran. So He was saying that, you know, this is the barakah of the Qur'an. That when a person, he fixes himself to the Qur'an and tries to educate himself about it, become close to it, that Allah raises him and honors him. I remember also my teacher, he told me that after he told me that story, he also said, and he knew of someone in Sudan, that there was a Yemeni boy, he's a student, and he was struggling financially when, as he's trying to study in Sudan University. And so what happened is that once he's passing by and he went into a masjid to pray, and the muadhin was away, he was sick. So they said to him, you know, go do adhan. So he made adhan, he had a very nice voice. So they said to him, oh, you know, you have a nice voice. If you come by here again, maybe we'll ask you to lead the salah. So qadr Allah, he actually came by one day when the imam was away. So they said to him, lead the salah. He led the salah, they were amazed with his qira'ah. Young boy. Just... So they said to him, you know, we have a room in this masjid. It is empty. We'll give it to you. Stay here. And whenever the imam is away, you take control and you lead the prayers and everything. So he said, okay. It was a big room as well. So he thought, alhamdulillah, now I don't have to worry about rent. It's free accommodation now. Then what happened is that he became a regular. So they gave him regular salah. He would lead the regular salah. And people started to look to him like an imam. So they would come and they say, make dua for my children. Do you have any advice for me? Can you counsel me? Can you give me a fatwa about these things? And then what happened is that two of his friends were also in a financially difficult situation. And he said to them, the room I stay in the masjid is so big, you can come and stay with me. So they came and stayed with him and they started paying him rent. Yes, so he started to earn money from that room in the masjid. And he said, you know, I have no qualifications yet. I have free accommodation and now I have people also paying me rent. And on top of that, people come and stand behind me and I lead them in salah. This is because of the barakah of the Qur'an. There was another famous story in Saudi Arabia last year. It went viral on Twitter. That there is a billionaire. Okay, he's a very famous businessman in Saudi Arabia. And what happened is that in one of his companies, okay, one of the buildings belonging to one of his companies, there was a Bangladeshi cleaner. You know, they come from abroad and they work as cleaners. So what happened is that the son of this business tycoon saw him one day sweeping and he said to him that, you know, you have a beard and you seem like you're a religious person, so do you know Quran? He says, I'm a hafiz of Quran. He says, a hafiz of Quran cannot be a cleaner in my dad's business. You must go and work in the musalla. Okay? So he's working in the musalla like a caretaker now. And then one day, no one is there to lead the salah. They said, lead the salah. So he started leading the salah and they realized he has a nice voice as well. So they made him the official imam of that musalla. Then one day what happened is that that business tycoon, he came to that building and he was going to, it was time for salah, so he came to the musalla to pray his salah. And his son stood in the back and took a picture of his father being led in salah by this cleaner. And he put it on Twitter and he said, look how Allah elevates people because of the Quran. This man is a street cleaner and he's leading one of the richest men in the world in salah. And people were like, wow, that's amazing. It's true, isn't it? SubhanAllah. Yani, just because a person has Quran, Allah can take them to yani, a station that they would never be able to achieve without it. SubhanAllah. So, alhamdulillah, that we have been studying some of the Qur'an and we hope that Allah would also raise our station as well, both in this life and in the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. So the last two verses of Surah Al-Hadid. Verse number 27, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Believers, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ Be cautious of Allah and have faith in His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ He will give you two shares as a token of His mercy. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ And He will make for you a light in which you can walk in. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ And He will give you forgiveness. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Truly Allah is extremely forgiving and extremely merciful. This verse There are two main opinions about this verse. The first is that this verse is speaking to the believers, because usually in the Quran, whenever Allah says Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it means people who believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter an instruction follows. And that is one opinion, that Allah is telling the believers, be cautious of Allah, and number two, have faith in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the question arises, how does that make sense? Because if you're already being addressed as a believer, then it means you already have faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why then is Allah instructing you to have faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So one of the ways that the scholars answer this is, they say it is an instruction to be steadfast in your faith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think there's a lesson in that for us today, that we hear many people say negative things about the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it makes some people fall into a doubt, a doubtful situation where they think to themselves, could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really have done that? And it shakes their faith. And so their faith decreases in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for them, it is a call from Allah that no, maintain the strongest level of faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not fall prey to specious arguments of people. The second interpretation is that actually this is an exception. This verse, even though it begins, O you who have believed, it doesn't mean the Muslims, it means the Jews and the Christians. And the way they explain that is, this last passage of Surah Al-Hadid was speaking about other prophets. Before this Allah said, ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمْ, that we sent after all these prophets more prophets, and of them was Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam. And then Allah says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who have believed, آمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ, as if to say, Jews and Christians who have faith in Musa and Isa respectively, now go ahead and have faith in this new prophet of mine, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes. And Ibn Ashur, he said that, you know, this seems to be the stronger opinion, because Allah just spoke about the Christians and how they invented monasticism. I don't know if you remember our discussion on monasticism. Allah was addressing the Christians, وَالرَّهْبَانِيَّةَ نِبْتَدَعُوهَا, that you invented monasticism. Then Allah is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ, meaning, Christians, I'm talking to you, I just made mention of your bad practices and your faith in Isa alayhi salam. Now extend your faith from Isa to include the new messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And before Allah asked them to submit themselves to have faith in him, Allah said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, be cautious and mindful of Allah. Why did Allah tell them to fear him before asking them to have faith in the messenger? Is because they are reluctant, they are hesitant. Some of them are even jealous, that why is it that we should follow this new messenger, Muhammad, for? We have our own prophet already, yes, or as they claim, the son of God, wal-iyadu billah. Or the Jews say, we have Moses already, why do we need to have faith in this man? And on top of that, they are envious of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is not from Bani Ishaq, he is not from the children of Ishaq, he is from the children of Ismail. So Allah is saying, no, be fearful of Allah, that you don't make the right decision here based on fanaticism or based on jealousy. Don't do that. And there's a lesson in there for us as well, that when we do da'wah to non-Muslims, say for example someone who is researching about Islam and they're interested about Islam, but they haven't become Muslim yet. They say, you know what, I need some more time to think about it. It happens a lot. What should you do in that situation? Should you say to that person, take all the time you want in the world, read all the books you want, watch all the YouTube videos you want, and then when you are comfortable, then become Muslim? Or should we say, fear Allah and become Muslim? Which one? The first one. But they've already read quite a lot. They seem to be inclined to accepting the message, but they're still hesitant. Have you heard of a sister known as Yvonne Ridley? Yes. Yes? Famous journalist. Yes. She became Muslim. Do you know how she became Muslim? She was captured by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Then she received good treatment and she was released. But she didn't become Muslim. She came back here and told a story It's evident that she obviously likes Islam now because of the treatment she got from the Taliban. But she didn't become Muslim. She said, I need some time. So somebody, okay, a prominent person from the Muslims, he found her. He said, you know what, you're going to go to the hellfire unless you become Muslim. She said, you know what, I need to become Muslim. She accepted Islam. Yeah, and now she's a Muslim for how many years? You think to yourself, subhanAllah. But it's true though, if you think about it, that if you think that Islam is the truth and you don't become Muslim, you're going to go to the hellfire. Now, as a caring individual, should I not tell you that that's the consequence of you hesitating?
Yes.
Isn't it? What if I said to you, you know, it's okay, just take your time. Read some more. Enjoy yourself a little bit more. You know, you want to go to a few parties. Christmas is around the corner. Tie all the loose ends up, but then, inshallah, become Muslim. What if they died? What if they died? Dying as a kafirah. When they see you, what would they say? Why didn't you tell me I was going to go to the hellfire? You told me it's alright, take your time. And then look what happened to me. Yeah? See, that's not real compassion. The Prophet ﷺ used to go through the marketplaces in Makkah, this is early stage. He would say, أَنْذَرْتُكُمُ النَّارِ, I'm warning you about the fire. I'm warning you about the fire. You're going to go to the hellfire. Say la ilaha illallah fatuflihu, and you'll be successful. That doesn't mean that the first thing you say to a non-Muslim is, hi, how are you doing? You're going to the hellfire, by the way. Yeah? And you know, how does that make you feel? We're not saying that. We're saying that when somebody has some knowledge of Islam, they are inclined towards Islam, then realize that shaitan is there holding them back. Of course. Shaitan is saying to them, you know, if you become Muslim, people are going to call you terrorist. Your family are going to abandon you. And then that weighs you down. I remember when I was in Egypt, subhanAllah, you know, there's many Coptic Christians there, that people would say that, you know, if someone becomes Muslim from the Christians, usually they disappear. They disappear. Either the family kidnaps them, or someone from the church will come and make them vanish, etc., etc. It's well known. Yes? So obviously that weighs you down. You think to yourself, man, if I become Muslim now, what's going to happen to me? So that person, they need a push. And Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Second interpretation is, O Jews and Christians that have seen the Messenger of Allah, you have learnt about Islam, ittaqullah. Fear Allah. Think about the consequences of resisting. Wa aminu bi rasulihi. And now go ahead and have faith in this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't hold back. And then Allah says, as a word of encouragement, يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي, that I am going to give you kiflain, which means two shares, double reward. The scholars say one reward for believing in Musa alayhi salam, Moses, and now a second reward for believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What encouragement is that? You're going to get two times more reward, or Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars say the word kifl is actually an Arabized word taken from the Ethiopian language, Habashi. Yeah? So this is, the word kifl is not an actual original Arabic word. It is Arabized, mu'arrab. So what does that mean? It means that the word didn't exist in Arabic. The Arabs borrowed it from that other language, in this case Ethiopian language, and then they Arabized it, they changed it around to make it sound Arabic. Yes. So based on that, there's a discussion that some people have about the Quran and the way it quotes other people who clearly did not speak Arabic. For example, did Moses speak Arabic? Didn't he? Did Jesus speak Arabic? No, he didn't. What about Adam alayhi salam? What about Iblis? What about Sulaiman? What about David, Solomon? Were they Arabs? They didn't speak Arabic, did they? So, but the Quran quotes them. وَقَالَ مُوسَى, and Musa said, and Sulaiman said, and Dawood said. So how do we understand that Allah is telling us what they said when that's not the language in what they spoke? Do you follow the discussion? So the scholars, they say that Allah Jalla wa Ala, He quoted them the meaning of what they said in Arabic. Yes, in Arabic. However, the amazing thing is that because it's the Arabic of the Quran, the way Allah said what they said is even more eloquent than the way they had said it themselves. Because it's not just Arabic, it's the Quran Arabic. So Allah took what they said, say in English, and said it in Arabic, but the Quranic version. Yes, so a person who listens to what Moses said, this is the most amazing part, who listens to what Moses said in the Quran will get a better understanding of what he meant than had he heard him say it from his own mouth in his language. Allahu Akbar. Yes. So, يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ Allah will give them two shares or reward. And on top of that, وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ And give them a light to in which they can walk in. Meaning Allah will give them direction in life, guidance, so that they can continue making good decisions in their life. Yes. And again, Allah, He refers to guidance as نور, which means light. Hidayah and نور. Allah is using them synonymously. And one of the benefits is to highlight the power of the guidance. Because when you think of light, you think of the sun. Now the sun is an incredibly powerful entity, isn't it? I read recently that the amount of energy the sun gives the earth in 2 minutes is enough to run the planet for an entire year. The energy that the sun emits onto the earth, not in totality, is enough to power all the cars and air conditioning and all the lights in the world for an entire year had it been captured. And Allah says that this book is light. Now, if the sun's light is extremely powerful, how powerful must the light of the Quran be? Makes you think, isn't it? SubhanAllah. Yeah. And the other benefit of calling it light is that it implies that you are in darkness without it. A person walking down a path which has no light, he's prone to making mistakes, getting lost or falling into a trap. Yes, so Allah says we'll give them not just a double share reward, but we'll also give them the light in which they can walk in. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ And also forgive them. Yes, give them forgiveness. And all of these things are ways of encouraging people to become Muslim. And if you think about it, if you were on the other side, if you were a non-Muslim, who's been a Christian, let's say, for 50 years, and you've been known as a Christian amongst your family and friends for 50 years, and then you decide to become a Muslim. You know, SubhanAllah, there was, I think 3 or 4 years ago, an 84-year-old Christian man in West London who became Muslim. And one of my teachers interviewed him. Okay, he's very frail, very old, but he became Muslim at the age of 84. Now think about it. At 84, if you decided to become Muslim, how many layers of difficulty would there be? One of them would be, obviously, that for 84 years I've been doing bad things. And 84 years I've been doing all the things that I like doing, which I've then come to know all haram, and you can go to the hellfire for, and now I'm going to change my ways. What about everything I did? So Allah says, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ We will take it and we will cover it up. The word maghfirah literally means to cover something up. The mighfar is known as the helmet in Arabic. Cover something up. Allah is saying that, see all of these bad things you've done, we will just cover it up. As if it never happened. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ This is encouragement. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ And Allah is extremely forgiving and He is merciful. And the last verse Allah then says, لِأَلَّا يَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ So that the people of the book would know. Yes, and this makes sense that the second interpretation, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا refers to the Jews and Christians, is the more prominent interpretation. Yes, because the next verse is speaking about Ahlul Kitab. Allah is saying, so that Ahlul Kitab would know that they have no control over the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. What does that mean? It means that Allah is telling Jews and Christians that if you become Muslim, basically you're going to become my chosen, favored people. There's forgiveness for you, there's direction for you, there's double reward for you. And the reason I'm telling you this is so that those who don't realize that they're not my chosen people anymore. They're not. And even the Quran says that the Jews and the Christians will say, نَحْنُ أَحِبَّا إِلَّهِ We are the chosen, beloved people of God. We are the chosen servants of God. They believe that they have an entitlement to God's favor. And the Quran is saying that's not true anymore. The people who have become chosen now are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, kuntum khayra umma ukhrijat linnas. Allah says you are the best nation that have come forth from mankind, speaking to the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a sense of privilege that a person should feel when he realizes that he is a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, and there is a narration that Umar ibn Khattab, he went to some of the Jewish rabbis and he said to them, according to your teachings, how many times over does Allah reward you for a good deed? They said 350 times. Then he said, all praise is due to the one who multiplied our rewards by 700 times. Yeah. Yes? 700 times. Yeah, he was proud of his faith. He felt superior. And that is what we are being told here. That if you are the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, that you have become superior in the sight of Allah. So long as you have true faith and you spread the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. That's it. If you do that, you have become the privileged people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, لِأَلَّا يَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, so that they would know, أَلَّا يَقَدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. They don't have any control over, they don't have any claim to be the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ, but the reality is that grace is in the hands of Allah. Yes, grace is in the hands of Allah. What does that mean? I mean, one of the lessons we can learn from that is that a person should not become complacent. Yes, that when you have been favored by Allah and been given the gift of Iman, do not become complacent and think that you can do whatever you want, but so long as you call yourself a Muslim, you're going to go to paradise. Some people say this, isn't it? That, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whatever I do, I'm Muslim, so I'm going to go to paradise. Yeah, Habibu, you might be punished along the way. You might be punished in the grave. And then you may be punished in the hellfire as well. Will you be able to endure that? No one will be able to endure a split second in the fire. But you become complacent. Yes, and Allah is saying, وَأَنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ, that the grace of mine is in my hand, meaning I can give it to whoever I want. That's what Allah then says, يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ, that I can give it to whoever I wish. If I want to give it to you, I'll give it to you. If not, I'll give it to him. Yeah. And in this verse, there's also another lesson about a person should feel as though they are missing out on rewards when other people get them and they don't. Yeah. So here Allah is saying that, look, the second interpretation of this verse is that it's not referring to the Jews and Christians. Allah is saying that the Jews and Christians who become Muslim, they get double reward. Yes, and the Prophet mentioned this in a hadith as well. But here Allah is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Muslims, regular Muslims, not converts, I'm going to give you two shares of reward. Because the Prophet ﷺ told the reverts that they're going to get two shares of reward. And what happened is that regular Muslims started to feel like they're missing out now. That these guys are getting more reward than us. How is that possible? So Allah, Jalla wa Ala, He reassured them and said, no, you will also get two shares of reward as well. This is the other interpretation. Now, one of the lessons we learn from that is, you know, if you don't feel sad when, for example, a rich Muslim gives a lot of money in charity in a way that you can't, there's actually something wrong with you. Yes? Because you should feel like, you know, reward, I need to get all the reward I can. And if there's some people getting reward that I can't get, that should make me feel frustrated. There were a group of poor people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith in Sahih Bukhari, and they complained to the Prophet. They said, Ya Rasulullah, that the people of money, they've taken away all the rewards because they pray like us, they fast like us, and then they go and give sadaqah in a way that we can't. So what did the Prophet say to them? He said, let me tell you something, that if you do it, you will also be able to get that reward. And what did he say? He said, after the salah, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And you will equal them. And then they said, listen to this, yeah, but they'll do it as well now. They'll do it as well. But see, Subhanallah, they felt like, you know, reward is something we cannot miss out on. And the Prophet ﷺ said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. That is the grace of Allah, He gives it to whoever He wants. I'm sorry. We don't decide who gets those kind of things. But the lesson from the hadith is that as a real Muslim, you should value the thawab of Allah so much that it frustrates you when other people get reward and you don't get it. Yes? So for example, you see after Fajr, somebody comes, let's just, I was going to say after Fajr, a person who stays and makes dhikr. But let's go to a more basic example. Somebody you hear comes for Fajr Salah in the masjid. Yeah. When you hear that this brother, mashallah, goes to Fajr Salah in the masjid, how should that make you feel? The one of the things that should make you feel is, man, you know what? I am missing out. This brother is receiving 27 times more reward than my salah, plus Allah knows best what other good things he gets for coming to the masjid. Yes? And that frustrates me. Yeah? It's almost like, you know, when there's two businessmen, they have a shop side by side, they sell the same things. One person is making more money than the other one. The other guy is like, what is that person doing, man, to get those extra money, to get extra income? I'm selling the same things as he is. I can't sleep at night until I know what is his secret. Isn't it? And when it comes to money, people, they feel frustrated when their peers are making more money than them. But we're talking about the religious type of frustration here. That you should feel frustrated, man, he's getting the rewards. The reason why I was going to mention the example after Fajr is because I remember once we prayed Fajr in the masjid, and one of my friends, he had a habit of staying behind, okay? And he would make dhikr, and he would Quran, and then he would pray two raka'ah. And you know, sometimes we used to do it. So I was leaving after the Fajr, I was leaving. And then he looked at me, he said, why miss out? That's what he said, why miss out? You know, it overwhelmed me what he said. I thought, so it's true. Why miss out, man? Why? What's wrong with me? And I sat down with him and I thought, subhanAllah, in a few minutes, half an hour maximum, okay, you read some Quran, dhikr, and you feel amazing, by the way, the rest of the day. Yeah, and you think to yourself, why did I trivialize the reward so much? May Allah give us tawfiq. The last thing Allah says, وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah, He possesses immense grace and favor. Yes, Allah possesses immense grace and favor. And this again is highlighting the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lesson in that is, when Allah rewards, it is a fadl. And a fadl means to be given something you don't actually deserve. Yes, when you are given something you do deserve, that's known as ajr, wage. When you're given something more than you deserve, it's known as fadl. Yes, so Allah is saying, the things I give you, it is from my fadl. You don't really deserve them. And if you think, if you read about the rewards Allah says for the people of paradise, may Allah make us from them, you see that, you know, there's nothing you can do in this life to make you deserve that. Allah says in Surah Zumar about the muttaqoon, people that are cautious of Allah, لِيَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That we will reward them according to the best of what they used to do. Some of the scholars, they explain that to mean that Allah will look at your account of all the salah you ever prayed, and He will select the best salah you ever did, and He will calculate the rest of your salah based on that one. Your sadaqah, the best sadaqah you ever gave, the most generous, the most sincere, He will select this and say, all these other sadaqah, calculate them according to this one. And all the deeds will be calculated like this. Did you deserve that? You don't. This is from the fadl and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing why it is a mercy of Allah is because if the meaning of these verses is Christians and Jews believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are only being asked to do something they should do. They're not doing anything extra. If a person drives within the speed limit, does he get a letter home that, you know, congratulations to you, you know, you didn't break the speed limit, you should be given £100. Does that happen? It doesn't happen. If you break the speed limit, then you get a letter. Allah is saying to them, believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're supposed to do that anyway. That's the right thing to do anyway. But for doing the right thing, I tell you what, we'll give you all these rewards as well. And in that way, it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His fadl and His mercy and give us tawfiq to continue to study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Fajazakum Allah khair wa barakallahu fiikum.